Welcome to Cardiology Today. Today's date is November 2nd, 2025. Here are the latest research findings. Article number 1. Cannabis use among young adults with acute coronary syndrome. Impact on initial presentation and long-term prognosis. This retrospective cohort study assessed the association between cannabis use at admission for acute coronary syndrome, or ACS, and long-term prognosis in young adults under 45 years old. Patients admitted between 2010 and 2025 who reported current tobacco use were classified based on urinary testing for cannabis upon admission. The research aimed to clarify the cardiovascular impact of cannabis use, which is increasing among young adults, by examining its link to long-term outcomes following an ACS event. This study established a methodology to investigate the clinical implications of cannabis exposure on cardiovascular health in a high-risk population. Article number 2. Left ventricular transthyretin amyloid load and apical sparing in patients with newly confirmed transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. This study investigated the relationship between echocardiographic apical sparing, a hallmark imaging feature quantified by the RELAPS pattern, and myocardial transthyretin amyloid load in patients with newly confirmed transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTRCM. The research aimed to clarify the histopathological and clinical implications of apical sparing in ATTRCM, a condition characterized by transthyretin amyloid deposition, left ventricular hypertrophy, and diastolic dysfunction. By establishing these associations, the study contributes to a more precise understanding of this complex disease and its prognostic indicators. Article number 3. Survival odds to minimize risk heterogeneity bias in heart failure trials, application to dapagliflozin. This research established a novel methodological approach utilizing survival odds to minimize risk heterogeneity bias in heart failure clinical trials. The study addressed the issue where conventional Cox proportional hazards models can underestimate treatment effects due to a disproportionate reduction of event-free patients in control groups over time. By demonstrating the application of this survival odds methodology to dapagliflozin, the research offers a more robust framework for evaluating drug efficacy. This advance ultimately improves the accuracy of clinical trial outcomes for heart failure treatments. Article number 4. Impact of the Swedish Care Coordination Act on heart failure readmissions and length of stay. This study investigated the impact of the Swedish Nationwide Care Coordination Act, or CCA, introduced in January 2018, on outcomes for patients with heart failure. Specifically, the research evaluated the association of this reform with all-cause 30-day hospital readmissions and overall length of stay. By assessing the Act's goal of improving care coordination and reducing readmissions, the study provides crucial evidence on the effectiveness of national policy interventions in enhancing heart failure management. Article number 5. Timing and mode of death following treatment of neonatal symptomatic tetralogy of Fallot. This study characterized the timing, specific causes, and associated risk factors of post-procedural death in infants diagnosed with symptomatic tetralogy of Fallot, or STOF, who underwent early intervention. Focusing on neonates requiring either staged or primary repair strategies for their condition, the research provided crucial definitions of early childhood mortality patterns. By elucidating these factors, the study significantly advances the understanding of risks and potential areas for improved management in this vulnerable pediatric population. You can find the links to the articles in the episode description or visit our website at podcast.explainheart.com for more details. Thank you for listening to Cardiology Today.